This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. How is San Antonio's economic competitiveness in this new economy? The role that education plays in this is clear, but arts and culture, maybe not so, but it is critical. The SA 2020-2017 Impact Report tracks the city's progress in various areas looking to improve conditions within San Antonio's communities. In this third episode of The Source, SA 2020's Impact Report series, we look at three target areas: education, economic competitiveness, and arts and culture. How can San Antonio grow its creative industries over the next 2 years? Is it supporting the creative community as a priority for residents? Is the city fostering innovation and entrepreneurship to its fullest capacity? Can San Antonio achieve a status as a leader in the global economy by 2020? And what's being done to bridge the learning gap and to create a more informed public? How will investing in education help San Antonio become more economically competitive? We invite you into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined by Molly Cox again. Molly Cox, great to have you back, President and CEO of SA 2020. Andrea Contreras is with us, the Executive Director of the San Antonio Education Partnership. Nicole Amory's here. She's the program director for SAC, a local arts program, and Sarah Sanchez, the senior vice president of business development for the San Antonio Economic Development Foundation. And Molly Cox, welcome back.
Well, thanks so much. I'm going to set up a cot, I think, in the corner, if that's okay.
And we'll call it Molly's cot.
It's exactly the same.
Yes. Yeah. And so tell me about this area, and it seems like there's a people may not see the direct connection between arts and culture, education, yeah, but it all leads to San Antonio's economic competitiveness.
Yeah.
And this is critical.
I really appreciate, first, let me say, I appreciate the fact that you've sort of taken this overarching view of the 2017 Impact Report, which has so much information on it, and allowed us to sort of figure out how we could put together different areas that really do influence and are impacted by each other. You know, we've talked a little bit about this in the other shows, how San Antonio is sort of this tale of two cities right now. We are experiencing economic growth like none other, right? Our unemployment rate is at almost a decade or multiple decades low of like less, we're below 4%. And the other things that we're starting to see, right, is this really fantastic growth in our target industries. We're seeing IT jobs, healthcare bioscience jobs, advanced manufacturing jobs. We're growing in that way. Entrepreneurship is up. And we are like at the top of college-educated millennial growth here in town. People, those college-educated millennials are flocking to San Antonio. And at the exact same time, so this is a yes and, right, both also, the exact same time, our underemployment rate continues to drive up. One in five people live in poverty. We're seeing multiple things as far as after high school. We're not seeing college attainment really go up. We're seeing our professional certificates are going down. And those two things are happening simultaneously. And we have to figure out how we are doing two things at once: recruiting talent and cultivating and supporting our homegrown talent at the exact same time. And what we have here are three partners of SA 2020 and three powerhouses when it comes to cultivating, supporting, and working with our homegrown talent.
Yeah, and no one's going to argue with you on, yeah, we need to do that. I mean, it's clear. So, but what we have to do is figure out what's the smart way to do this. We need to have a clear-eyed view of what's happening in our local economy and in these sectors. We have to look at the data to figure out, with the limited resources that we can dedicate to try and find improvement, Where do we apply that? Mm-hmm. And so, because we don't have a lot of, you throw money at, but we don't have money to throw, unlimited supply.
Sure.
We have to figure out what needs to be done. And that's really what we want to hear from our listeners. If you can call in and tell us, where do you think we ought to be applying our resources to try to help San Antonio improve our economic competitiveness, make sure that our arts and culture creatives are taken care of and we foster and invest in there, and also education. Where do we need to be dedicating ourselves to education? 210-614-8980. And so let me go over to Adriana Contreras, Executive Director of the San Antonio Education Partnership, and tell us what you see and and particularly connected to this SA 2020 report card.
Thank you. When we look at the homegrown talent, like Molly was saying, you know, that's, I think, the biggest area where we can really have an impact. So the San Antonio Education Partnership, of course, we are a nonprofit. We help individuals earn college degrees, I mean, get back into college, re-enroll in college. And so in San Antonio, we have about 300,000 adult learners, some college, no degree. And so if you can think about, you know, that pool of 300,000 and the impact that they could have on the community, as it relates to the arts, as it relates to economic competitiveness and economic vitality, I mean, that's a huge way that we can really move the needle there. And so, you know, looking at those adult learners, really focusing our efforts and strategies on that population is really important. The other piece of that, of course, is working with high school students and helping them to see the benefits of earning that certificate, that associate's degree, bachelor's degree, and on, and you know, how that can help them personally, but then also how that helps our community as well overall.
Yeah, you know, particularly we helping young people get the benefit of other people's experience, mentors, really, and guidance is going to be key in this, helping people avoid some of the mistakes that many of us made, racking up tremendous debt, trying to get education, not taking advantage of some of the opportunities that are around us that we have. And so is that what we needed to be doing?
You know, absolutely, I agree 100%. When we look at the conversations that our advisors have with students, and it's that one-on-one conversation, whether you're a high school student or an adult learner wanting to re-enroll and get back into college, that's so terribly important to have that guidance, that coaching, that advice. And so you can really see what's going to be the best fit, best match for me, what's going to be the best way for me to approach this economically, you know, from a personal finance perspective, and so that I don't come out of school with a huge debt. And so, you know, what do I need to do? And that's where advising can really help to drive that conversation and guide that conversation.
But Molly Cox, San Antonio is investing in SA, in the pre-K for SA. Mm-hmm. And are we seeing any returns on that? If we look at your data that you have, I guess looking at, say, the improved kindergarten readiness.
Yeah. We are seeing, actually. We're seeing progress happening, and it's not just in pre-K for SA, right? The city has a Head Start program. There's early Head Start. There's multiple early childhood spaces. United Way is now also investing in early childhood, specifically with their Ready Kid collective group work that they're doing. And we're starting to see the increased percentage of students developmentally very ready. That's starting to move in the right direction, which is fantastic. So there's the early childhood, super early, right, that we're seeing some really great, I guess, successes as far as I'm concerned. And then you move into third grade reading, where it's just not moving. It's not moving in the
stagnant,
right direction.
Falling.
It's going backwards. And there's got to be something, there's a pressure point there where I think we can start having those serious conversations. What are we doing that sort of wraparound services? And there's some really fantastic collaborative working groups, again, with like Excel Beyond the Bell, which I know we'll talk about because Nicole's here.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the arts, and we'll also talk about the economic competitiveness. And our phone lines are open. We're going to take these calls we have on the board when we come back. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The SA 2020 Impact Report, Part 3. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about three key components, three legs of an important stool, the education, economic competitiveness, arts and culture. That stool is the future of San Antonio. If you pull one of those things out, it's not going to stand up. So what should we be doing? Where should we be putting our resources to shore all this up, make sure San Antonio is moving in the right direction? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. And let's get a caller on the air. This is Dan G. And Dan G, you're on the air. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi there. I work in advanced manufacturing here in San Antonio. And just the way things are with the labor market, we're having a hard time finding people to kind of do some of the machining and some of the stuff we do where I work. And I've been interested in doing some industrial automation training here in San Antonio, and it seems like the only technical school that's here is St. Philip's or the SAC colleges, and I've signed up for a few of the classes in the past, but the classes never get run because the mandatory minimums of students never get met. So I'm just wondering, you know, what is San Antonio doing to try to elevate kind of the next stage of manufacturing and the skills that are needed to make this happen?
Okay, and I'm going to take Dan G. Thank you for that. And I got a similar call here. I'm going to get Daniel T. on the air. Daniel T., go right ahead.
Yes, it kind of speaks along to what Dan was speaking of. I guess the involvement or investment in San Antonio for vocational schooling. My background, I had went to a bachelor's program and then went to a master's program, sort of kind of buckled down with debt. And a lot of what I'm doing in my current job description, you know, a lot of it could have been done through trades, through different schools. And is there an initiative for SA 2020 to kind of reinstill some of that focus?
All right, Daniel T., thank you for that call. And so let me go over to Sarah Sanchez, Senior Vice President of Business Development for the San Antonio Economic Development Foundation. Your reaction?
Yes, thank you. So just some background information on the Economic Development Foundation. We lead San Antonio's economic development efforts in terms of attracting business to San Antonio, also business retention and expansion, international workforce development, and entrepreneurial development too as well. So under the SA Works initiative, we're really leading the charge aligning San Antonio's industry and education institutions to ensure there's a sustainable workforce. Recently, we just hosted Job Shadow Day earlier this month. We had 130 employers participate and over 4,000 students go out to different businesses in the community to understand what are the opportunities for career paths here in San Antonio. So we want to expose the students to advanced manufacturing. We want to get them interested in our target industries. So we're really working with the educational institutions and industry to align the workforce needs and demands. And so through this program, we're hoping to get students interested in advanced manufacturing, and that would kind of help create the demand for those classes that were mentioned.
And Molly Cox.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting to note is that we have very specific targeted industries in San Antonio that are growing exponentially, right? It's happening across the United States, but IT, healthcare, biosciences, and advanced manufacturing, and the green industry are some of the places where we can really see a very specific space where we cultivate and support workforce and getting them into these jobs that are currently available. The numbers are slightly outdated. They come from 2015, but there's one person for every 10 IT jobs available right now. There's one person for every two healthcare bioscience jobs that are available right now. We're going to see a mass exodus over the course of the next 10 or so years of people retiring from advanced manufacturing. These are the spaces where jobs are created. So to both callers, to both Dans, hi Dans, I'm 100%. Right? We get it. What we're not seeing, however, and I think this is where when we talk about things like upgrade at San Antonio Education Partnership, is this very specific sort of alignment where you see something like Upgrade, who's targeting adults with some college, no degrees. We're seeing no shifts at this point in professional certificates, the kinds of things that get you into these jobs. And what we're starting to see really clearly is alignment between industry and higher ed in really determining where those people need to be.
So when you talk about these certificates, professional certificates, mm-hmm. and I know that we're stalled trying to reach the level that we want to be at.
That's right.
And are these things that people can self-educate, or do they have to go to a school, or how do you? I know you can learn to code, you know, and then you can go take the test and be certified if you can figure that out on your own.
That's right. Yeah.
So I mean, are we getting people who have the curiosity, have the mental wattage in the right places so they can succeed? And so let me go over to Adriana over at the San Antonio Education Partnership to reply.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of options for students, which is great. And so I love, you know, Dan's questions about AMT and the vocational education, because that is a really important part of this conversation, because it isn't just about the bachelor's degree and the master's degrees, but those certificates and the associate degrees as well. And I know one of the callers had mentioned the Alamo Colleges and St. Philip's and the programs there. And you know, so it's really important important that students are aware of the options. And I think that's the big piece, kind of going back to what Sarah was saying. When students come in and meet with an advisor, oftentimes they don't know exactly what they want to do. And it's really incumbent on our advisors and our folks to be able to say, oh, have you heard about AMT? And hopefully that conversation's also taking place in the high schools as well. And, you know, just getting the word out about all of these different opportunities that are out there where you don't necessarily need a four-year degree if the choice that you want to make is to earn an associate's or a certificate. There's a very viable career in those fields, and it's a matter of awareness.
A question that a lot of young people have is, how do I get rich? You know, well.
Not just young people. I have that same question.
How do I get rich? You know, they don't, all they know is what they see around them that's been presented to them. And I say, well, be a rapper, be a basketball player, you know, write the Harry Potter series, something like that. They don't understand that there is a pathway to economic prosperity and stability, and where you don't get rich, but you can have a pretty damn good life, you know, but that path needs to be laid out. And then you got to say, well, you got to do good in school. Well, and then they see some other people who've gone to school and didn't do so well. So it's a lot of messages that need to kind of iron that out. And so a lot of people wonder about the arts. Okay. You know, not getting rich. Okay. How do I not get rich? One of them is maybe going into the arts. I don't know. I don't know. Strange transition here. Okay. I'm trying to bring in Stacy over here. We got Nicole Army, Emery, sorry.
Hey,
okay. Program and director for Stacy. And we want to talk about how important you are towards our youth being fired up about arts and culture and how that plays into the overall economic competitiveness of San Antonio.
Sure. Well, it's thank you for having me. It's really interesting to hear y'all talk about all these amazing opportunities for students to go out and get exactly the education that would match them with what they're skilled to do. However, the reality is my students come from all of the 17 distinct independent school districts. They're in homeschooled and they're in private schools, Catholic schools, and it's just not everywhere. You say ideally advisors in their schools are telling them, oh, well, this is what you're good at. This is the program for you. You don't have to leave our city or our state to go get that kind of education. We have programs for you, but the reality is those advisors are just not prepped. And San Antonio, we talk about homegrown talent. We are a culturally rich city. Artistic talent just thrives here. We're naturally in our bloodlines, in the way we celebrate, in our culture, the way we live our lives. But our students are coming from schools that aren't prepared to tell them you can get into art school and you can afford it. So it's not just my students wanting to get rich. They're wanting to do what they love. And so that is the key. What are we doing to in high school at that point where they're matching what they figured out they're good at with what's next? What's the next program? And how do I get mom and dad to understand that I will not be a starving artist? You know, that my creative thinking, my creative talents can actually be matched with the bio program, with going into tech. You know, our creative coders at SACE are ready not just to make video games, but to work in their city and produce and work with things they didn't know needed an IT or a creative coder. You know, like the Spurs team, it's an amazing creative team. They brought our students in. They explained how their jobs, while technical and very business-driven, starts with sketches, started with, you know, tagging on their homework in high school. So those opportunities, matching our students wherever they come from, whatever their parents think are the next steps for them, with something that actually speaks to how they need to be educated. And so that's the next part. I'm way behind. I'm so supportive of how we can connect creative thinking with the way we educate.
Exactly. I'm going to go to Chris online on the phone here. And Chris, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Earlier, I heard one of the guests talking about underemployment in the city. And my question was regarding the $15 an hour minimum wage that we've seen raised in other cities. And I understand that it might be difficult or far-fetched for small employers, say, for instance, your local landscaping guy. But what about making large employers like HEB or, I mean, it might be a stretch to make Walmart do that. But, you know, because a lot of people, like you said, are underemployed. And some of these folks, while the numbers of employment go up, we don't realize that one person might have three jobs. or doing Uber after working in, you know, a long hour as a, you know, as a substitute teacher or something like that. And also, on that note, I wanted to talk, you had also mentioned about entrepreneurship, and one of the questions I had was regarding, you know, fostering or subsidizing, as far as the city or the county goes, employee-owned cooperatives. I mean, you know, and also giving, you know, businesses that are going out of you know, people that are selling off their old businesses or people retiring, and you know, they can sell the business to their employers, to
okay,
their
Chris,
employees.
Thank you for the call. A couple of good points there. Let's go first to minimum wage. And, of course, the city of San Antonio cannot set the minimum wage. That's the state of Texas forbids that. And but what are wages looking like in San Antonio? And so, Sarah Sanchez?
Yes, thank you. Education is the topic here, I think, that we're all honing in on. And education impacts individual earnings 5 times more than any other demographic factor. So we got to continue as a community focusing on education and what the opportunities are. And once we see that rise, we'll see wages also rise. And if we're focused on education, then we're attracting strong companies to San Antonio, companies that will bring good paying jobs in the corporate sector, in the advanced manufacturing industry, bioscience, et cetera. So I think we need to keep our focus on education and bridging the gap between industry and education institutions so that we're developing a strong pipeline of workforce available here in San Antonio.
But to wages, that brings up the personal per capita income, you know, and how we're doing on that. And that was one of the areas that you tracked, Molly Cox.
It is, yeah. I mean, we do look at per capita income, we're seeing progress. If you look at it in the aggregate, some of the things that we did this year in our 2017 report was actually disaggregate some of our indicators, including per capita income, by city council district. And what you're going to start seeing there is how disparate our community is, right? If you look at City Council District 5, their per capita income is about $20,000 less than perhaps City Council District 9, right? So a 10-mile span radius, we've got a $20,000 span in per capita income. And I think to kind of Chris's point, there was a systemic issue that he sort of brought up, right? Which is, are we having conversations that allow for small business growth, entrepreneurship that doesn't feel just like, every time I say entrepreneurship, I think entrepreneurship, it feels so fancy, right? But it's like also small business people who have been, who started by mowing lawns on the south side of San Antonio, have now created a brand new small business and didn't think of themselves as an entrepreneur, but they are, right? And then I think back to Sarah's point was this idea around education. So if you look at, again, disaggregating that data by city council district, you start to also see changes in the way that our districts are also done. So in a per capita income that is less, perhaps, in like City Council District 5, you also see less educational attainment there. And are we having the conversations that if we as a community believe that educational opportunity and economic prosperity is for everyone, no matter where you live in San Antonio, are we helping everyone in San Antonio reach that result?
And we're talking about that this afternoon and where San Antonio could be putting its resources in order to bring up per capita income, increase employment in target industries, increase entrepreneurship, also foster and invest in the arts and bring along education. We've got to have smart people in the pipeline in order to fill these jobs so they can get the jobs that are created in San Antonio. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this.
In the dispute over border security, are immigrants criminals? Are Border Patrol agents the bad guys? Writer Francisco Cantú's memoir, The Line Becomes a River, addresses this quandary. He's a former Border Patrol agent.
When I joined the Border Patrol, I remember making this argument to my mom that I would be able to help people.
Cantú joins us on the next Fronteras. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's economic competitiveness and this new economy. We know that education is key, but so is arts and culture, particularly here in San Antonio, where arts and culture has its own particular flavor that can't be duplicated. Others have tried. It just cannot be done. How do we turn that into San Antonio's enviable future? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Jessica is on the line. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me. So my question is, why aren't San Antonio businesses supporting endeavors in education and arts and culture? And I think that our San Antonio Symphony is a prime example of that. Why aren't businesses stepping up and supporting one of the greatest cultural institutions we have in the city that's offered year-round concerts for the population? And I think we're missing something in our business culture in San Antonio that allows the arts to thrive in a way that's healthy. When you look at other cities, you see that the arts are thriving in places like New York or Chicago. And San Antonio is a large city, so we should have that kind of support. So why aren't businesses stepping up? Thank you.
All right, Jessica, thank you for the call. I know that we do have many businesses in San Antonio that do their part to support the symphony and HEB. Everyone always turns to HEB, and they want the HEB to bail them out, you know. And I know that it's a corporation that we see is very visible in San Antonio. I think they're doing their part. But there are certainly a lot of different ways that every business in San Antonio can do something to support the arts in one way or another. And it doesn't have to be as grand as the symphony. It can be big and small. And so Molly Cox, where are you on that?
Yeah, I mean, I grow increasingly concerned when we sort of use, when we stand up the symphony as the pillar of arts in our community, in a community as culturally rich as San Antonio, Texas, right? I agree. The symphony is incredibly important. And there are also hundreds of other small organizations, just as you sort of alluded to, right, that are doing things as well that are just as important to our community. And I think that that's the challenge that we're having, right, is that we're not yet having this sort of systemic, overarching conversation about what arts and culture means to a community that literally thrives on arts and culture. And so then we have something like, hey, the symphony is failing or it's not doing as well. And we sort of hold that up as, let's look at their operational budget, right? It's a large company. And it is, I agree, the symphony is very important, but it has to be important not only to businesses in our city and our county, but also to audience members, right? And how are we utilizing it in that way? And then I go over to a SAC exhibit where there are like teenagers who are like rocking the most amazing art. That's mostly how my house is filled with art. And I'm like, that's a tiny, small organization, right? And it's a completely different space. So I think we have to start having conversations about what our creative economy looks like in a city like San Antonio.
So Nicole at SAC, can you add to that?
Sure. And I would turn it back to education always, that if we're valuing arts education, arts experiences, and creative means as a way of learning, then it becomes cultural. Then it becomes our business leaders going out and understanding that that's just folded in. That's just good business. The way we train our employees, the way we, you know, give back to the community, the way we are actually experiencing community events by sponsoring these, putting our name all over. That happens naturally if we target education and arts education, creative education. But on the other hand, what I heard Molly say in a way is it comes back to equity. So if we're looking at our city as being economically segregated and physically segregated, then why would businesses invest in something that is not even tangible for most of our city, for the large majority who's living under the poverty line, who doesn't really understand that the symphony is there for them? You know, so let's look at it through an equity lens. SAC is touched by businesses who, one at a time, one employee at a time, come through our doors, talk to our students, see that the artwork on the wall that's amazing is done by a 15-year-old, and that changes their life. And they go back, and they go say, how can I bring my employees here to volunteer for this nonprofit? And the same thing can happen at the Guadalupe and for, you know, the Playhouse or public theater.
Right, so I want to draw the action line between having students who are enthused about creating art or enthused about writing stories, and then that helps keep them involved in the education process. So they go to school and they can pursue excellence and do the best they can, and then they segue into the business world, and there are jobs for them jobs that are really difficult to find, people who understand San Antonio and who can tell San Antonio's story in a certain way and do that for the local company that needs to be able to provide a product, create wealth for stockholders, and also represent our community. I mean, does it all sort of flow that way? And you want to talk about, Sarah, is that something that works for you?
I would just add that arts and culture is very important to our community in terms of quality of life. And when companies are looking at relocating or setting up new operations in San Antonio, they want to know, what is the arts and culture scene like? Is it thriving? Are there activities for my employees to participate in? It helps us compete against other cities too as well that are thriving in this space. So it's important that we foster and that we support arts and culture in San Antonio.
And to your point, David, like the conversation that you sort of just started there was, hey, how do we take something like arts, which feels very sort of, you can write and you can sing and you can perform and you can design. Those are the soft skills that every company is looking for. Every company, whether it's a USAA or it's a Rackspace or an HEB, they are looking for people who can help tell the story. And that comes through your arts.
Okay, we've got a lot of callers here, so let's get them on the radio. Here's Amy. Hi, Amy. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks, guys. I have a question. It's kind of two parts. Number one, how can we make the arts more accessible in San Antonio? I think oftentimes I find myself wanting to go to the theater, wanting to go to the symphony, and tickets are $50, $60, $80 a pop. And, you know, most San Antonians can't afford that. And that's not even including our you know, west and east and south sides of town. So that's kind of part one. And part two is there are amazing programs. Stacy is an incredible program, but a lot of people don't know about it. A lot of people, it needs to become something that is more universally part of San Antonio as opposed to just the wonderful part of town that it's in. So I just kind of wanted your thoughts on both those questions. And yeah, thanks for having this conversation.
All right, Amy, thank you for the call. So, Nicole, how do people, I mean, you're right there. You do everything you can. You say, hey, everybody, look at me.
You're on the radio.
And still, it's really hard. You know, because I think it's because the way people are today. We all exist in our own little self-made bubble, and we got to figure out how to get people to be able to include you in that bubble. How are you going to do that?
Sure. I know. And not, mind you, we're not at capacity or anything. No, we are. We have to turn away students who apply to be in our program. We're in a tuition-free, year-round, long-term program for creative thinkers 6th through the 12th grade. We have a 26,000-square-foot building in the heart of the Arts District, but our students are thriving and so happy and wanting to go back and change their schools. And the students who can't come to us, we're desperately reaching out to our neighbors and saying, here, well, you can't come in our program because there's just not space and enough money, but, you know, go to them. Arts education opportunities are so important because it's changing the way our students are reaching or not reaching the education that they want and deserve. And so for me, it goes back to that we're doing as much as we can as a creative youth development program. But that term right there, creative youth development, is a term for the SEL skills that Molly was talking about, you know, those soft skills, the humanities, STEAM, putting the A in STEM. The reality is it's time for the public schools and the way that businesses understand and invest in these public schools or private schools, charter schools, what have you, to understand that the way students learn needs to be project-based. The programs that Adriana was talking about, you know, certificate programs, those vocational skill trades, those are exciting for our students. Our students are ready for those, but they're not matched because they don't have home ec at school anymore. There's no shop that they can practice these things they're wildly excited about. We're not trusting our students to practice while they're still young, and that's what SACE does, and I think that's what more and more parents and when we're talking about access to the arts, our artists deserve to be paid. There needs to be a ticket on that theater, but let's be smart about the community around them, giving those opportunities to students who can't pay but still deserve theater. So it's back on us to really trust the teens and change the way that those teens are getting educated.
And Adriana Contreras at the San Antonio Education Partnership, how do you see arts being played into that, into keeping kids in school?
You have to reach out to their passion. And when they come in and they have a passion for the arts and whether it's music or drawing or graphic art, whatever it is, we really have to focus on that, because that's where they're ultimately going to be most successful. And so we don't in any way dissuade them from pursuing that. We just help them see what the options are, because there are a lot of different options. And you know, maybe their parents are wanting them to go a different direction, or maybe if somebody's looking at the economic, kind of that bottom line, you know, they're trying to process that and figure out, okay, how do I manage that? You know, I want to be successful in my career, and how do I, you know, incorporate my passion for the arts and do the best I can in that career field.
And to this report card, with education in San Antonio, we are seeing growth in graduation. That's encouraging. And how do you see that leading San Antonio, where we're going, Adriana?
You know, that's of course vitally important. And so as we look at the increased graduation rates, high school graduation rates, which is wonderful to see, now we just got to figure out, okay, how do we get them into college or training, right, and to and through, so that they go in and then they complete that objective. So it's not just a matter of getting them into a higher education or post-secondary program, but rather, you know, how are we supporting them so that we can get them through the pipeline and have them be successful.
Sure, and so, I mean, there's a lot of money that's going into these education programs. We have the Alamo Area Community District and colleges and all these things. We've got to make sure that there's the payoff for the overall economic competitiveness. We'll talk about that. We come back from the break. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this small break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. If you haven't seen the SA 2020 Impact Report, well, then you're missing out. It takes a deep look at many of San Antonio's vital areas, shows where the city is progressing and where we need to put more effort in order to reach the goals for the city, have overall improved quality of life, have better job opportunities, better economic opportunities for everyone in San Antonio. We have a link to the SA 2020 Impact Report on our website at TPR.org. We're talking about the areas of economic competitiveness, education, and arts and culture this afternoon, and JP has called in. And so hit the button. JP, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. There was a gentleman who called earlier and talked about getting some technical training and was unable to complete or even participate in some of the classes because they didn't meet the minimums. So my question is about getting the information out there to let people know that there are these programs. I mean, it's all well and good to put together programs and educational classes and things like that, but if you don't have the participation, what good are you really doing? So what's actually being done to promote these programs outside of public radio and things like that? And do you think you're getting the return that you need?
All right. Thank you for that call, JP. And Lester has a call also. Lester, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, mine was similar to that. Quick question, like, how do they market the jobs that are available? And then two, kind of instead of trying to jump into some program that's going to give you some sort of certificate, why don't those jobs say, hey, we need 20 people to really grow and meet our demand? Why don't we just find the people that are going to be good partners in our business and just bring them in and do some kind of apprenticeship, some kind of training for the actual job they're going to do, instead of trying to get some certificate that might get you a job, not quite sure, that sort of thing. So,
all right, Lester, thank you for the call. Sarah Sanchez, Senior Vice President of Business Development for the San Antonio Economic Development Foundation. St. Phillips has a lot of that kind of stuff, doesn't it?
They do. And in fact, you know, these callers are right. We see a lot of positions that are in high demand in San Antonio, for example, the advanced manufacturing technician position. And employers like Toyota, HEB, CPS Energy, Caterpillar, they're looking to fill these types of positions. So we need to get people in the pipeline to get these training certificates so that they have the skills to do these jobs. So there is a local chapter of the Federation for Advanced Manufacturing Education here in Texas, and it's supported by community partners, industry leaders, et cetera. And ideally, we want to get students into these training programs. So they go to school, they get their associate degree, but at the same time, they're working at these companies. So they're getting both the education and the hands-on training. So we are working on this. It's vitally important for us because we need to develop this pipeline so that way we can support local employers and attract additional advanced manufacturing operations to San Antonio.
So a lot of San Antonio youth are dealing with a specific problem, which is they have got to start earning as soon as possible. As soon as they get out of high school, they got to get a job. And frequently they get trapped into a job, the dead-end job, and they're not able to ever maximize their capacity. These kids are really smart. They want to learn. They want to work hard. But then they're trapped in a job, and they really can't get there. But we do have opportunities here in San Antonio that will allow them to do that, Sarah?
Most definitely. And earlier this week, I was at Harlandale High School with SA Works, and we were doing mock interviews to help students prepare for interviewing for jobs, to interview for programs and what have you. So we really need to get into the high schools and really educate the students on what are the opportunities, get them to sign up for Job Shadow Day. So as a community, we need to be focused on this because it's vitally important for us.
Right. So like JP, the caller, was saying, how do we get the message out to these students? We got to bring the message into the schools. That's where these kids are. And so is that happening, Adriana Contreras?
Yes, of course, we can always improve, but we're working on that. There are a lot of partners who come together around this. So the SA Works and Bexar County and the City of San Antonio and the high schools and the higher ed partners. And so they create things like the internships or learn and earn programs where the students can, right out of high school, attend college, but they're getting paid while they're attending. And we are also working with employers so that there can be some really substantive changes in terms of tuition reimbursement programs or tuition assistance programs, flexibility for employees so that they can go to college. And, you know, it really is a win-win because the employer is having an employee who then is moving through their system and advancing in their career. And, you know, the student or the employee is able to earn their credential and advance in their career. And so there are a lot of really creative different programs that are out there. And you know, I don't remember if it was JP or Lester who said, you know, why don't students know about these things? And we are trying to work as closely as we can with the ISDs and then also the higher ed partners to make that connection.
And Nicole, at SAC, I'm sure you see this because you're dealing with the kids directly. And a lot of them, they're talented, they're enthused, they want to keep applying their arts, but then they feel the pressure, home pressure, they've got to start earning. And so how do they deal with that?
Oh, absolutely. That's the most heartbreaking part is wanting to connect them with opportunities that they absolutely have a talent for, have many times scholarships for, but there's this other piece that we're not talking about, and that's the community exactly. Sarah mentioned it's vital that the community gets involved. And what I'm looking at are the other shows, the other cause areas, understanding how everyone, not just the three that we're talking about today, but every single cause area that San Antonio put before them affects the student's trajectory between cradle and career. And that's why is it that mom and dad and the situation at home is not allowing the student to go to the pre-college program that would change their life, that would get them the bachelor's degree and send them back home to reinvest into this community? It's because we're not taking care of mom and dad or grandma, that there's health issues at home, that there's transportation issues. I have to pay attention to VIA. I have to pay attention to what health opportunities, what shelters are around my kids in their different neighborhoods. And I was mentioning that's 17 different school districts, meaning all over town. And that's a lot for a nonprofit as small as us to keep up with. However, I'm looking to the schools. I'm looking to the partnerships. I'm looking to these other nonprofits and big collective impact movements to help me raise these kids with their parents. And so it's not just focusing and getting the kid together, it's going back home with them, sitting at the table, playing basketball with them, and figuring out what is the neighborhood needing so that the student can do what they're supposed to do, that we would love for them to do.
Right, so these kids, they don't have the infinite cocoon where they can just keep trying to figure out what kind of butterfly they're going to be. You know, they got to make a call really quickly. And sometimes, you know, they don't get to be the butterfly that they would like to be. They have to go out into the workplace right away. And so Molly Cox, at SA 2020, what are you seeing? How do we start investing into the arts so that we can maybe give these kids more of a chance, more time to develop, and maybe begin to turn their skills and talents into an income for them, and then they can start also developing San Antonio's creative economy. Because that's where really we're going to see development.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing that investment, right? I mean, it's who we have at the table right now, and SAC with creative youth development. We've got the Economic Development Foundation sitting at the table in the San Antonio Education Partnership, and over 130 partners that SA 2020 works with specifically. I think for the question that you've asked, which is really about investment in, is really helping people figure that out. How do you, as a company today, help invest in the talent that's already in your space? And then how are you turning back around and using the dollars that you are getting from your company and the talent that is there to invest in the pipeline coming up behind you, right? So I think those are starting, like, people need to start considering how they can play a role in the future of San Antonio's success, whether that's in a company, whether it's in your own nonprofit, whether it's in your family's volunteer time, or maybe in the check that you write at the end of the year for your tax purposes. How are you ultimately investing in the future of our community if you are not looking at it purely from how are we making sure that the student today is the leader tomorrow?
And so with the economic competitiveness angle, we know that by providing this, we're going to create better jobs, a better future for San Antonio, Sarah?
Most definitely. And it's the rising tide lifts all boats. So if we're doing what we need to be doing in each of these key sectors in education and arts and culture, ultimately, we as a city are better able to compete. We're in a better position to attract those major employers and to help local companies stay and grow.
And Adriana Contreras at San Antonio Education Partnership, who are the partners who are coming together on these things?
We have so many partners coming together in so many different ways, and whether it's the College Access Network or around Destination College, celebrating a college-going culture, working with ISDs through diplomas, and just a lot of different partnerships that we have to have a lot of collaboration in order for these initiatives to be successful. And throughout this conversation, I keep hearing a lot, of course, about education. And, sometimes folks just don't even know where to start, what to do, where to go. And so, of course, I would encourage individuals to come to Cafe College and sit down with an advisor. They can go through that career assessment. But just have that conversation about, how can I get this, my future on track. Here's what I like, here's what I want to do, but not sure how to make it happen. The advisors at Cafe College just do a great job of devoting that time for that one-on-one conversation.
And Molly Cox over at SA 2020, as you look at these numbers, you see all the different data points, and you're focusing on what is the most telling data object that we need to be looking at to see what's our health in this area?
Yeah, after high school, right? So we're seeing high school graduation rate has gone up. We're having a challenge around third grade literacy, and I know that's something that we need to focus on. But what I can tell you right now is if you look at all of the 61 indicators that we're currently tracking across a grid, what you see is after high school is where we need to put some focus. What are we doing for our students to get them into professional certificates, college, and jobs that can ultimately, it literally is a cycle, right? We get somebody into higher ed, we move them right back into
So you want to break the cycle of poverty.
Absolutely.
That's the weak link. That's where we can put some efforts. Let's do that.
There it
All
is.
Right. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.